This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. It's the 11th of January already. Coming up a little bit later on, we've got Jeremy Mansfield popping by. He is toying with the idea of going into politics, which I think a lot of people might be either very, very frightened of or very, very excited by. Depends on your point of view. But there we go. Jeremy Mansfield popping by to see us later on. And you can listen to that after 8 o'clock. The next couple of minutes, we'll go through some of the things that are happening in the news today that you need to know about. It is back to school today.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of kids for first day at school. That first day in grade one is always the most frightening but also most exciting day of your life.
Oh my goodness.
Nothing compares to the smells, the sights, the sounds, the everything.
Opening just, your stationery.
Oh, using that those, you, oh. those crayons that you screw at the bottom.
Yeah, roll-ups.
Oh.
Roll-ups.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
what would you call a sharpener?
I was thinking, what do you mean screw? You sharpen your pencils.
No, but the crayons. Do you remember those crayons?
Yes, the roll-ups.
Uh-huh. Right.
I remember you had to like stand in a line while we did this. We stood in a line to get our pencils sharpened every morning by the teacher.
Oh, wow.
Because the teacher had like this fancy little
on
machine.
The desk.
Yes.
Turn the lever. Who even uses pencils anymore?
But like you work towards a pen license. Like we couldn't use pen up until like grade three.
Really?
Oh.
That was the thing. And like when your handwriting was great, you got a pen license.
Wow, okay.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you were in, what were you, in Auschwitz in school?
Hey.
You have a pen license. Bring me your pencil to be sharpened. I did use a pencil this holiday.
An actual pencil.
Pencil. And a sharpener.
A sharpener even.
Yeah. I drew, I was on holiday with a family and I suddenly got this inspiration. I needed to draw a plan for a house or a building. So, you know, because I'm always doing these drawings of houses and things. So I got a piece of paper, I got a ruler, I got a pencil, an eraser and a sharpener. And I sat down and I was busy for like 5 hours. It was great. I loved it. I must bring you the drawing.
I don't even know, like, don't you need to go on a bit of like a witch hunt when you're looking just for a pen nowadays, even in your house?
Know, the funny thing is I found I had a pencil and I had the stuff with me, which was really cool. Anyway, all right, it's back to school today, so lots of people are excited about that. And you can see a picture of Sia and Ben and Mubs and I on the Cliff Central Twitter account, or if you join us on Facebook, on Cliff Central on Facebook. Go and take a look at those. Tell us what you think of how ridiculous we looked and how cute maybe you think we looked. Someone says here, Ashley says, I was just going to say Gareth looks 26 in his photo where he's meant to be 7.
Okay.
And Greg says, Gareth looks like the boy I punched at school.
You big bully, Greg.
That's lovely.
How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah, all right. Okay, so can I begin with like why Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma might have problems?
Is this if she goes against Cyril or when?
When?
Because I still don't know. Is it a done deal pretty much?
It's like when. So she's got a couple of problems. She's got to, first of all, deal with the Premier League.
Oh, yes, of course. The infamous Premier League who, as it turns out, are quite powerful when it comes to running things from behind the scenes.
Let's say, for example, she wanted to keep Pravin as finance minister, but Ace Magashule and company told her that she had to appoint Des van Rooyen. Would she be in a position to say, screw you? Or would she be beholden to them because without the Premier League, she wouldn't get enough votes to be president? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So who's in charge? She's aware and concerned about the risk of being seen as the Premier League candidate, because she is worried about the big and small skeletons and the baggage that they have. She's also saying that there's strong evidence to suggest that they may have long captured their provinces. So in other words, that those provinces aren't going to go anywhere, and that those different men, Magashule, Mabuza, and Mahumapelo, that they are very much there to stay. She doesn't want to be seen as being captured by those guys. So everybody's asking, what's she going to do? Then the elections. A victory by the Zuma camp may further alienate disenfranchised ANC voters who didn't vote in last year's local government elections. So the big problem that they have there is that she won't get the votes because she'll be seen as the replacement for the Zuma regime.
Mm.
And all those people who didn't vote ANC in the previous two elections are going to go, well, why should we vote for it now? It's just more of the same. What to do with Cyril is the third problem that she faces. By the way, this is all in an article by Adrian Basson that I found on News 24. There are rumors of exploratory talks between Dlamini Zuma and Ramaphosa to agree on a strategy that will unify rather than divide the ANC, and they need that at the moment, right?
Yeah.
Ramaphosa can rightfully say he's had his turn as deputy and should, according to ANC tradition, be the obvious successor, and Dlamini Zuma can say that she's the most senior woman ANC politician with continental experience, and that after 105 years, the ANC should act on its word and elect its first female president. So both of them have a good reason to be elected. But if there's a race and Ramaphosa loses, then Dlamini Zuma can't afford to lose him and his supporters. That makes sense. The possibility of a Ramaphosa-led split would send shivers down the spine of any right-thinking ANC supporter. And the fourth and final reason that Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma has problems if she becomes president is what to do with Jacob Zuma.
Ish.
Right, because some people have been saying that, well, in actual fact, Jacob Zuma could just end up pulling the puppet strings from behind the scenes.
That's it, and that everybody's saying, well, she's just, and wouldn't this be like the biggest slap in the face to feminism and to all the people who are calling for her to be the first female president if she actually ends up just being an agent for her husband? I mean, what a typical male chauvinist situation that would be, right?
Mm.
So people are saying that Jacob Zuma wants his ex-wife to succeed him just to keep him out of jail. That's what people are saying. Firstly, she can never promise that she'll protect him from prosecution. The best she can do is appoint a politically pliable national director of public prosecutions and hope that they won't go after Zuma. Our legal system doesn't allow for amnesty to be given to sitting or former presidents against criminal prosecution, so that's not possible. Remember, that was what happened to Nixon. So he resigned, and then Ford pardoned him.
Hmm.
But that doesn't happen in this country. If the prosecutors want to go after you, they'll go after you. There's no such thing as a special pardon. Although it would probably be true that she would prefer not to see the father of her children being subjected to lengthy prosecutions and possible prison time, Dlamini Zuma will have limited leeway to protect her ex-husband and will be watched at every angle for possible attempts at influencing the criminal justice system. So she's got a couple of really tough decisions to make if she's going to be president.
Do we know what their relationship is like? Because I haven't really, like, it's never been in our eyes much.
Yeah, but look, the
I
fact is,
I don't think I've even seen them together.
No, I don't think they even have a similar philosophy about how politics should operate. But she is the ex-wife. She's the mother of his children. He's the father of her children. They share a lot. They share a surname, for starters, and for a lot of people, that's also a kind of dynastic, tick the boxes and let's just carry on with the Zuma regime.
So
it's complicated.
I just thought of parenting without president. Oh.
Okay, wait a minute. So they never got a divorce, ne? Or did they?
Yeah, they were divorced. Yeah, they've been divorced for some time.
Oh,
she's
okay.
Just kept the surname.
And remember, she was very close to Thabo Mbeki, which meant that she couldn't have been close to him during that time.
Mm.
She's from the other side. And that's one of the reasons that I think that a lot of people are in favor of her.
Mm.
It's because the Thabo Mbeki government administration was regarded as making the right decisions in respect of the economy and, you know, NEPAD and all of that stuff. So we've got to wait and see. But I just thought I'd throw that in there. And we're going to try and get Adrian Basson on tomorrow so we can talk to him about this and find out a little bit more. I also see that Graham Smith's ex-wife was detained in Cape Town. Did you hear about this?
No.
Yeah, she was in a police cell in November last year, and now she was held again because she hasn't renewed her visa.
This is the Irish one, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Morgan Dean. So she hadn't renewed her visa, and she couldn't give an explanation. So they were forced to refer the matter to the courts. And her detention was normal procedure because she has been charged with a crime.
Ooh.
If you're in a country without a visa, it's criminal. So she said it was an absolute nightmare. She appeared in the Cape Town High Court. She had applied well before the time, but the administrative process continued for 8 days after the expiration date. I could not leave the country without running the risk of having a criminal record or being deported. I mean, what a horrible situation. It sounds to me like she was trying to comply with the law, but because of procedure, she couldn't comply with the law, and then she had to go to jail?
But has this got to do, if you marry a South African, which she did, right?
Yeah, surely you should be a South African.
Then you're in the game, but now have they been divorced?
But it shouldn't affect it. If you've married someone and you get divorced from them, you still stay in the country.
Okay.
Oh, true, because, you know.
Yeah, this sounds ridiculous.
No, but I mean, if they went to the lengths of arresting her, then maybe we don't know the laws.
Well, we shouldn't have such complicated laws.
Yeah, no, but it makes sense. She isn't a citizen. She isn't a South African citizen.
But she married a South African citizen. They were married.
Yeah, but they're
even
not married
anymore.
Married so maybe
to someone.
Maybe you those rights get revoked,
but
is what I'm saying.
But even
maybe
marrying someone, you still have like 5 years to go before you're a citizen.
What nonsense is that? I mean, I could go over to America now. I can marry anyone, Caitlyn Jenner, if I want to, and
Chelsea
Clinton, and then I become an American.
And then when you get divorced,
you stay an American.
Guys, all I'm saying is there are drug smugglers in the world. There are rapists. Why are we worrying about Morgan?
Morgan Dean,
like,
exactly.
What is she?
Jesus.
because every now and again, a country likes to make an example of people.
She's hot. She shouldn't go to jail.
But the worst thing she can do is release an album. That's all. Isn't she a singer?
I don't know.
Yeah,
what she
that's
does.
The worst she can do. That's all.
Leave her alone.
Yeah.
Leave boy alone. Right. What else is happening in the news?
Okay, so we were talking about back to school earlier, and look, a lot of parents will be relieved today because they finally get to kick their children out of the house.
Oh, can you imagine?
No.
Every year I talk to parents who are like, oh my gosh, can schools just start again? I'm sick and tired of my own children. But no, really, parents
sounds like
do.
Delightful.
No, parents say that, I promise you. So yes, parents will be relieved, but then some parents will be feeling a little bit overwhelmed and possibly a little bit concerned because as it turns out, there are about 40,000 pupils in Gauteng that still need to be placed in schools by the Gauteng Education Department.
How many?
40,000 pupils are yet to be catered for. And with all systems go for the start of the school, the department say that they're still working to place thousands and thousands of children. Now, part of the reason that this has happened is because parents got frustrated after being told by the department that they could register their children online last year. But then their children still remain without a school. So yesterday there were a whole bunch of parents who ended up having to queuing for pretty much most of the day as a last minute, you know, thing because they failed to do this successfully online. It just seems to me like, you know, the system can be improved upon. And so today you sit with a lot of school children who don't yet have a school to attend.
Hmm.
And this is something that happens every year at the beginning of the year in our country.
Wow, to think I was worried about going to school. These kids are worried about not going to school.
Mm, because they still don't have a school that they've been placed in.
Oh, my God.
Are we still operating on the rule that you can only attend schools within a certain radius of where you live? Is that still a thing in our country?
What do they call them? It's like a geographic thing, yeah.
Yeah.
For some schools, it is a thing.
So it's not for all schools?
I don't think all.
I mean, if I stayed in Four Ways, I can't attend a school in Centurion. Like, the school in Centurion is not going to take me in because I don't live in that area, is what I'm asking.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we got to talk
to
someone about
this.
Yeah, I
don't think everyone is that finicky, but definitely there are certain schools.
Look, I just feel bad for any kid who can't get into school. They don't understand what's going on. Their parents probably don't even understand either. Yeah, we've got a big problem in this country when it comes to education.
Mm.
We don't have enough places to educate kids in. That's when you hear about these horrible stories. Places like Limpopo, they're teaching people under trees.
Still.
Mm.
But how long is registration open, though?
Look, so, parents could start.
Not to sound emotionless,
parents could start applying for their kids last year already.
Exactly.
Well, they should have.
Those
parents who didn't, there's no excuse.
Yeah,
right?
Those parents who didn't, there's no excuse. Like, those parents who did.
Then all I have to say to those kids is, you got shitty parents.
Which is very unfortunate because it's not the kids' fault.
No, of course not.
And now there's an interesting conversation that's happening in Australia after a bit of research was conducted, right?
Australia.
A study conducted in one Australian primary school back in 2012 already found that girls did significantly less exercise, physical exercise, when wearing school dresses and school skirts. And so the conversations that they're having in Australian schools is, why are schoolgirls still being made to wear school skirts or school dresses? Surely in this day and age, if a girl feels like she wants to wear shorts or a pant, like, should it be an issue? You know?
You know, this whole thing of school uniforms is so complicated.
Well, this is the thing.
It sounds like it should be an easy thing.
It sounds like it's an inconsequential thing to me if a girl decided that she wants to wear school pants to school.
All right, let's
it's inconsequential. Like, to me, it's like, okay, nobody gets hurt, nothing gets thrown out the window, so what's the problem?
Let's play a game. On the side of the school uniform, Sia Sangweni Finn. On the side of no school uniform, Ben Karpinski.
Oh.
All right. Let's
begin.
And
I actually am, hey.
Are you?
I'm on the side of school uniform.
All right, let's hear why you think a school uniform is a good idea. Go ahead. Over to you, Sia.
I was actually realizing this as soon as I left school. There are certain things, though, that school teaches you that are just instilled in you in a good way once you go into the working world. And it's just that respect. So in high school, we had this thing where, you know, when you left the school gates, you needed to wear your full school uniform. So that's your blazer buttoned up and you need to stand up straight. And, you know, I know my sister's school, they couldn't be seen out in public eating in their school uniform. And I know it seems kind of cult-like, but it's this thing of, decorum. And it's this thing of dignity. And it's this thing of, you know, standing up and holding yourself a certain way. So I'm pro school uniform.
You must always show in life when you're better than someone. So if you don't have a school uniform, you can just bling out and just whatever.
No.
That's Ben's argument.
Always show strength. No, I'm totally with Sia.
Yeah.
This is a terrible, you've already capitulated.
No, but it is though, because there's nothing more. I can't agree more with Sia. It's such an important thing. And as well, like, kids want to feel like, just think, if you're a kid and you don't have much in school, you go to school and you get ridiculed because, I don't know, you're a ginger or you've got like a long leg or, like, kids have weird things, right?
They hate each other.
And now
they don't hate each other. They're mean to each other.
Yes.
If you've got to be judged on, like, your clothes not being that cool and stuff, that's another thing to kids to worry about. I don't think that's fair. You must go to standardize the stuff, give them something to be proud of, and a uniform makes you look a bit smarter too. Give you some sort of, you go home and roll around in a sack if you want, but at least a school uniform will give you a standing in life.
It gives you an identity. It makes you feel like you're part of a family. It teaches you so much more than just looking alike.
And one less reason to be judged.
True. Yeah,
exactly. Because bullying is such a hectic thing. Like, I talk to parents nowadays who are so worried about the kids going to school for cyberbullying, what phones do nowadays. Just stop giving these horrible tyrants more ammo.
Research by the Australian Bureau of Statistics shows that young women do significantly less activity than young men in school. Reasons given for this include the fear of being judged or ridiculed.
Yeah.
It can be argued that making girls wear skirts and dresses plays directly into this tension and their fears.
What would you like at school? I mean, when you were at school,
we didn't have a choice.
Did you have a disgusting uniform?
Oh, we were gross. We had green blazer, green skirt in the winter, and brown bobby socks and brown shoes.
Brown was a big school color.
So the guys at Grey College called us trees because from the bottom it was all brown with our brown shoes and brown socks, and then up the top you were green, just all green.
Kinda see it,
no, we looked revolting.
Yeah,
but
so that's the other side. Some school uniforms are just revolting.
No, we didn't have a say. You had to wear either a skirt or a gym dress.
Would you have liked to have been able to wear jeans?
No, not jeans, pants, like the boys.
Pant.
Yeah,
see, there's
pant.
The compromise there. All
right. No, but that's the conversation that they're having in Australia.
But there were girls. There was a Muslim girl at our school who wore pants.
Yeah.
Pants, like, underneath her dress.
No, she wore pants.
Oh.
That's all. She wore the pants and she had a hijab.
Yeah, there are some girls who actually don't feel comfortable wearing the school skirt or the gym dress. And would much rather feel comfortable in the
especially
gray,
especially the trannies, because
no room for my balls
in the gray pants that the boys wore, not jeans, no, just pants like the boys.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. All right, very
so
good.
Just, I thought that was interesting. That's the conversation they're having in Australia right now.
Very good,
guys. I'm really missing school now.
No, you're not. Come on. Come on, please. What do you, you want to stand in line and have your pencil sharpened again?
No, I just want to bully people again.
Did, were you a bully?
Yeah.
No, not a bully.
I knew
but,
it.
But like, because I was bullied so much when I got to matric, then like I affirmed things like.
Okay, so apparently the one kid who was at school with Sia, he's going to Harvard now. He was in the news 2 days ago. What's his name? Have you,
Sasa Dlamini.
Sasa Dlamini, right. Oh, yeah, yeah, so this kid's going to Harvard. He's been given some kind of bursary or something. And Sia used to make him carry his bag around and treat him like a servant.
Oh, look at life turning around and showing you who's boss.
That's karma, honestly.
Sia, why don't you go make me some tea quickly?
Oh, man. Because, you know, at school, I was officially like Sia Sangweni Finn. And when you're in matric, they get to call you Mr. Sangweni Finn.
Yeah.
And I used to always make a thing out of, I am not Mr. Sangweni. I'm not Mr. Finn. I am Mr. Sangweni Finn. So for that, jeez, you'll carry my bags.
You were a tyrant.
I love.
You're the kind of person who we should be very careful not to give power to, because you would abuse
I'm
it.
I'm megalomaniac. And then like we had horrible these scarves, so I'd just like turn in a huff and just like throw my scarf over them.
How dramatic.
I know. Theatrics are my thing. And then look at how I've turned out, guys.
Theatrics.
No titles, no Harvard. Just me.
All right. Sad. Very good. If you're doing the school thing this morning and you have to take your kids off, what, they'd be at school by now? It'd have to be, right? 7:30.
Mm. Definitely in the traffic, yeah.
Yeah, if you're stuck in the traffic with that, good luck to you. I hope it's going to be a good year and you don't have any unforeseen incidents.
Oi.
Well, you know these things happen.
They do happen.
You get to the school, you figure out, you know, they don't have a place for you, or you get to the school and they say to you, you're in the wrong class, or they move your kid around, or they say, oh, you know, we don't have, these subjects are not available, for example.
Or in high school, you get there in the beginning of the new year and they're all these new kids and there's like this hot chick or this really attractive guy. And now you can't focus in maths class.
That's all you think about.
Because there's a really cute boy sitting
damn,
next to you.
Oh, damn.
That's all you
think about. Like 90% of high school.
Or your teacher's a dragon.
Or your teacher's hot. Which is really problematic.
Or in America, or your teacher has her hand in your pants.
Yeah.
On the first day.
First day. No, taking roll calls.
Fast.
All right. What else is going on?
Okay. 12 federal jurors said yesterday that Dylan Roof. We all remember Dylan Roof,
that
right?
That piece of shit, yeah.
Yeah. He's the guy who killed 9 people back in 2015, shot them at a historically black church in Charleston.
Oh, that, okay, I was trying to remember which incident it was.
Yeah. So these 12 jurors have now decided that Dylan Roof he needs to face the death penalty. This was decided by 10 women and 2 men who recommended the death penalty for all 18 counts. Roof will become the first federal hate crime defendant to be sentenced to death. The judge, which is Judge Richard Gergel, will formally sentence Roof today. He had decided to represent himself during the penalty phase. There was a time where, you know, the question was asked whether or not he was mentally stable to do so. And, you know, in his own words, he had said, yes, I am mentally fit to represent myself in this case. And now,
take it down, man.
The jury has decided that Dylan Roof needs to, he needs to lose his life for the crime that he committed.
So how do they kill him? What are they going to do?
I don't know. They don't specify here. Let's see. What, Charleston, that's South Carolina, right?
South Carolina.
Yeah, that's the church. How
do they kill people
there?
Yeah,
let's see what methods that they use.
But 33 federal charges.
No, it's a big deal.
And this guy's 22 years old.
Okay, let's see.
As far as I know, it's probably lethal injection.
Lethal injection or electrocution, they say, for South Carolina.
What would you choose? All right, if you could choose, what would you go for? Go on. Put yourself in that position for 5 seconds. You have to be killed. You have no option. There's no way out. You are stupid enough to represent yourself in your trial. Now they come to you and they go, all right, well, we're going to kill you. You got 2 options. Lethal injection, and we know those have gone wrong sometimes, and you sit there and suffer while, yeah.
Oh, is it sore?
Well, no. Sometimes they get the mixture wrong, and then... You know, your arm goes dead, but the rest of you is alive.
No. Yeah, you see, the stuff that they use, Sia, is meant to paralyze you initially, and then they inject you with other stuff that then, like, literally kills you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but the point of it all is so that you don't end up, like, jerking and looking like you've gotten into a seizure as you die.
Well, they still strap you in.
They strap you in.
Yeah, so that you don't try and run.
But then they inject you with stuff that's meant to paralyze you. And then sometimes it doesn't paralyze you. So then you feel...
My ass is stuck.
I would use the God card on them there. I'm like, yo, see, I'm still alive. God wants me here. Like, don't kill me.
But then if you choose electrocution, what if the voltage and the amperage isn't high enough and they just fry you enough that you smell yourself burning?
No, thank you.
But you're still alive.
Nope.
Huh?
I would still opt for lethal injection.
You would?
Yeah.
You'd take the chance on that one?
Sodium thiopental is used to induce unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're unconscious,
well,
you're not really feeling yourself die, right?
No, you'd probably just fall asleep. So it's the most humane. But then why do you want to be humane to a guy like this? I want to fry him.
Do you know what he said in his closing argument? He said, in my confession to the FBI, I told him that I had to do it. So there's no remorse at all here.
Yeah, this guy should be fried up and he should be burnt to crisp and they should put his crispy remains in the potholes around South Carolina. That's what they should do. This guy says he's a filthy, disgusting lowlife, the scum of the earth, an example of why humanity is at its lowest some of the time.
Ben, what would you want?
I'm going through your options, really. The most popular ones, basically, I mean, none of them are great, obviously, because the end result is you die. I would never want the electrocution. Because after watching the movie The Green Mile, you never want to be in that seat.
I think that's a shocking experience.
It really is.
I know it's horrible. Really resist.
Really, Sia?
I couldn't resist.
In Arizona and California, gas inhalation is a big one. Also not so great because, you know, there's a huge amount of struggle involved there.
Yeah.
And then
you start to foam from the mouth.
Ooh, yeah.
Not nice.
And then there's hanging in Washington, the good old hanging. Like, hanging would be kind of cool if you could pick your audience.
Well, all right.
What does the audience have to do? What?
I don't know. Like, when you think hanging, you don't think of being in a small room where no one's watching you.
Who would you want watching you?
So, yeah, you're about to die, right? And you've obviously done something really bad. So your mind's not in the right place.
And listen, what they usually do in these situations, they bring in the families of the victim and they say to them, the victims, rather, families, and they let them sit in the gallery, which is behind glass so that the accused can't see them, but they can see him. And they want closure. They want to see him die. Mm. They want to see some retribution. Now, let's go back to medieval times while we're on this macabre and fantastic topic. All right, let's go back to medieval times where if you were a member of the nobility and you were accused of a capital crime, they would cut your head off. But if you were a peasant, they would just hang you from a rope.
Cut your head off as in the old guillotine.
Well, that was what they invented that in France for the express purpose of cutting off heads.
Okay.
The whole point of the guillotine was to cut off heads. And it was especially made because they needed it to be quick. They needed to process a lot of people.
Sure.
There are a lot of these noblemen who needed their heads cut off.
Oof. Yeah, and you need an efficient system to get that done.
You know, shlump, the blade comes down, pff, chops through the head. You hold up the head, everybody screams. You throw it in a basket and off it goes.
That's so intense, guys.
Okay, so there's that. Or before the guillotine was invented, they would use either an axe or a sword.
Yeah.
Like stab you to death?
No, chop your head off with an axe or a sword. You would put your head on a block of wood. Seriously, they'd expose the neck, they'd pull your shirt back to your shoulders, and the guy would take a big old swing and bring it down, hopefully, right over your neck. Because if he didn't bring it over your neck, he brought it over your shoulder, for example. Can you imagine?
Imagine your last sight is you look left and the guy's quite skinny. You go, oh, there's no way he's going to cut through me. That must be the most, like, horrible thought.
I had an ancestor. She was in her 60s. Henry VIII didn't like her. He put her on the block. The executioner was drunk.
He
had a sword. He didn't bring it down hard enough. He chopped her across the collarbone into her lungs, and her head was kind of lolling to the one side, and she got up and she started running around screaming with blood gurgling and spurting and carrying on. And he chased her around and hacked at her until he brought her down.
So, I mean, the crowd that day really saw a theatrical.
They got a good show.
I now really hope the kids are at school.
That would have been a good show. Can you imagine? Her running around the scaffold.
But did they really get it? did they really kill you with the first swing, though, using an axe? Because don't you have to get through bone? Or
well, it's an axe. And
it's an axe. It's kind of a pretty heavy thing. Yeah. You can do it with an axe.
Like, you've seen those manly lumberjacks, and they're wielding their willows in the woods and stuff. Like, they can go through and put some damage into a piece of wood.
Yeah. They can definitely do damage.
And as much as with this bone, the bone's, I mean, we've all eaten chicken.
Yeah, so it's bone.
Bone isn't like the most incredible thing.
Not always.
Well, chicken bone, but I mean, now we're talking about human bone.
But just to wrap up this topic, you know, okay, so obviously lethal injection is a big thing in America, but there is alternative methods. You can actually choose to have the electrocution, the firing squad, lethal gas, and hanging. So these are the dates for the last people who had this. The electrocution was last done in 2013. Robert Gleason wanted that. The firing squad last happened in 2010 in Utah. Ronnie Lee Gardner wanted that. Lethal gas, final time was 1999 in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Walter LeGrand wanted that.
Okay.
And hanging, which sounds like the most medieval of all. Well, in 1996, William Bailey wanted that to be his way in Delaware.
Wow. So he asked for it, especially. Yeah. You ask and you sometimes get.
Yeah.
Aye, aye, aye. Okay.
All right. Here are some comments on the uniform. Ashley says, a uniform is just removing the last true freedom a human being has, what your own body has on it. So Ashley, very strongly against uniforms. Hmm. Yeah, we didn't really get into that, but the argument against uniforms is also that, you know what? Kids need to express their individuality at an early age. They want to wear the clothes that they're most comfortable in. And for many kids, it's an expressive thing. So you put on your favorite shoes, you enjoy school more, that kind of thing. There are those arguments, and some of them are very good, and some of them are very, you know, wafer thin. Barry says, what I'm finding interesting is that in the West Rand, there are numerous private schools opening and one new public school. Not even one. This, I suppose, is due to the existing public schools not having capacity to supply demand. Well, then they should open more public schools as well.
Also, paranoid parents who don't want to send them to government schools.
Yeah, that's also true. I mean, listen, do you want Angie to be in charge of your child's education? Do you?
Auntie Angie?
Would you like Angie to be in charge of your... Hell no. All right, enough from the scaffold, for God's sake. All right, what else do we have to get to this morning? Anything else we need to know that's absolutely important? Ben?
Yeah, just a couple of sports shorts, if you like. You know, sporting agents, there's been a lot of talk about them. These are the sleazeballs that basically turn careers upside down. We had a lot of talk end of last year about Johan Kuusen retiring.
Are you saying that some of these agents are scoundrels? They're not necessarily looking after their clients?
Gareth, I'd say a lot of these agents are scoundrels. And these are the guys pulling the strings in sports. So you can have these talented sports stars, but they're getting completely worked left, right, and center. These guys are cocking up things with teams. Obviously, a lot of them are just facilitating needs, and there's a role for them.
Mm-hmm.
So how much do these guys earn? Well, the biggest sporting agent in the world, his name is a guy called Scott Boras. Scott Boras, he last year made $132 million in commissions, right?
Wow.
To go with his $2.2 billion in contracts. That's Scott Boras. He is the biggest sport agent in the world.
Oh, my God.
Jorge Mendes, you've heard his name before. He's Ronaldo's agent. He's the big soccer agent to all the stars.
Is he officially the highest earning agent?
No, the other guy was.
No, Scott Boras.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't.
Yeah, that's okay. So he made last year $72 million in commissions. These all dollars. And $727 million in contracts.
Nice.
And then Sam and Seth Levinson, they big baseball agents. $1 billion in contracts. $55 million in commissions. So, as you would expect, we went through the Forbes list last year of sports stars, and baseball, basketball, football, American football, those are your three across the board that makes the most money because it's America.
Right.
And in America, contrary to Meryl Streep's views, sport is what people really care about. And there's so much money and there's such huge markets for these people. So imagine a guy like Scott Boras.
He never needs to borrow.
He's making about $2.4 billion a year on what he's made of just putting people into teams, giving them more money, getting them more money.
$2.4 billion
a year from being a sports agent.
Yes, yes.
Incredible, huh? Another thing, Ronda Rousey spoken out after having the shit kicked out of her again. she can't speak at the moment, so she's used a J.K. Rowling quote.
Oh.
Did
she point it in a book?
No, she posted this on Instagram. And so rock bottom became the solid foundation in which I rebuilt my life.
Ow.
Yeah. How's that, huh? And finally, this week, it is Hashim Amla's 100th test match. So it'll be taking place at the Wanderers, which is a fantastic ground. It is SA's best ground. You can fight me that all you want. It is the best cricket ground in the country.
All right.
And he'll be playing. So, look, he's not in great form right now. He hasn't scored 100 in quite a while. But the dude has scored 25 hundreds. He's scored got the highest individual total for a South African cricketer, 311 all out against a hapless English team. He's got the double hundreds. He's won games. He's just been everything. And he's 33 years old. So he's getting on. So it'll be his 100th test at the Wanderers against Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. Weather's not looking so flash for that. If you are looking to go and watch that in Joburg, well, Friday, it's just going to be raining. Saturday, also lots of rain. Sunday, a fair amount of rain. Monday, a fair amount of rain. So let's just hope.
Rain.
Let's just hope South Africa can score 500 on Thursday and bowl at Sri Lanka out twice, just to make sure.
All right.
Yeah. So go, Hashim Amla. What a hero.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Ben. Thulani Tools Khadebe is going to be joining us in the next couple of minutes. I don't think we've ever had him on the show. I mean, I've known him for the longest time, but I don't think we've ever had him on my show. And I wanted to talk to him this morning. Here's how he describes himself, so I don't get it wrong. He is a man about town, a marketing guru, managing director of public relations firm Brand Ambassadors. He is, just on his way to starting to build his empire, networking with the elite echelon of any city. He knows how to work the room and host a party. He is the guy. And actually, I have known him for a long time, and I thought we'd talk to him this morning about something that's been bothering me for a while. Are celebrities losing their influence? Does anyone care about celebrities? And should this be the year that we make a concerted effort to stop caring about celebrities? I think he's going to have a lot to say about that, so he'll join us next. That's Tools Khadebe, who's going to be on the show. And then Jeremy Mansfield joins us after 8 o'clock, which I'm excited about too, because I haven't seen or spoken to Jeremy for a long time. Plenty to get excited about today. All right, take a big deep breath. The first day back at school for most of us.
You know just what to say. Na da 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 da. The more that I know you, the more I want to.
All right. Something very nice. It's called starving. So much younger yesterday. Which is not nice. Obviously, no one wants to starve. Yeah, hey, Tools, come in here. Grab a seat, dude. How are you?
Fine, you?
It's not nice to starve, but that's a good song. I like it. What can I say? Zed, what's going on with my microphone here? What the hell's happening here?
I don't know.
Testing, 1, 2.
This is supposed to be a professional establishment.
Gareth, you're not meant to rough it up.
I swear this thing is, I have to actually hit the damn thing to make it work properly. Hello? Hello? Am I sounding all right?
I can hear you in my head.
You've sounded fine the whole time. It's just violence. It's now just violence. There's nothing technical about this.
We just moved into a brand new studio on this side in for January. We did our first show on Monday in this studio, and everything looked so new and shiny, and now I'm starting to get annoyed at the equipment already.
Oh, dear. Okay,
Took all of 2 days. How are you, Thulani?
I'm very well. How are you, guys?
Good, dude. It's nice to see you.
Yeah.
When last did I see you?
Oh, gosh.
Ages ago.
I think it was in passing in your old studio.
I brought up the celebrity thing just a moment ago. We can get into that just now. First of all, to let people know, I mean, for some reason, you are the go-to guy. You're like a connector between all the celebrities, the sports celebrities, the TV people, the radio people, the fashion people. You're in the middle of that.
I am.
How did you end up in that position? You're like the go-to guy. Everybody knows you.
God, like maybe I was an obsessed stalker fan, I guess. I don't know. No, I'm joking.
Maybe you were. Don't be embarrassed.
And that's really okay.
No. You know, Gareth, I've got the gift of the gab. You know, everybody that I meet and I see and I interact with, I always make sure that, A, I'm memorable. And I'm not boring, so that you'll always remember me. But I have a great network base, and I've always been able to network and meet new people, no matter where they are. And celebrity sports, whatever, I treat people equally because no one is better than the rest. Oh, that sounds so Mother Teresa, but...
I was really excited to hear from you until you said that. I'm sorry, I fell asleep in the last sentence. What was that?
No, I think it's, you know, it's an interesting time because I was watching last year with the U.S. election. Every celebrity in America was on the side of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
All of them. They all pitched up at her rallies. They were singing for free at her shows. They were pledging her support. They were interviewing her on every talk show they could. She was absolutely being leaned into by celebrities, and they all thought, well, their influence is going to be a shoe-in for her,
absolutely,
to push her over the final stretch.
Yeah,
and it should have been, by all intents and by all calculations, it should have been a slam dunk for her. But it turns out, in the end, ordinary Americans don't care about Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, Beyonce, and Jay-Z's ideas. They don't care about their opinions. They want to buy their songs.
Yeah.
They don't mind watching them on stage, but they understand they're entertainers. They could care less for their opinions.
Correct.
Do you think that's kind of happening more and more?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when Barack came into power, he did have the celebrity vote, and it was powerful for him. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, the main American culture related to him and to the celebrities. But now, that asshole has now spoken to middle America.
You mean Trump?
Talking about Obama.
I was going to say, we can have some difference.
No. But I mean, Trump now has spoken to middle America, in a way that says, make America great again, because, you know, he's speaking to them in such a way, I don't know, that they can relate to.
Yeah. And they can't relate to Meryl Streep
or Beyonce or Jay-Z, you know, those guys cannot. But celebrity influence is definitely a thing, you know.
Well, it's your business, isn't it?
Absolutely. Right.
So how do you measure what kind of, because we talk about influence, so you could reach a lot of people, mm-hmm. if you got the right celebrity on your side. And that could obviously, you could charge money for that, and they can make some money, and brands can be associated with that. That's what the business is that you're in.
Absolutely.
But how do you measure the actual influence? Because it's not how many people follow someone on Twitter. That's not their influence. Someone might have 100 followers, and they may be influential, more influential than someone with 1,000.
Absolutely. So for me, I've always thought that, it's not in my... the amount of followers that you have, or you have a million followers on some platform, it's, and you post something and then everyone's going to buy it. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Your talkability, and if you can, endorse a product authentically and people say, oh, I really actually really love Nike.
Yeah.
I'm going to, because, you know, Tiger Woods.
So it's also got to do with the way that you do it.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. So, and that's where brands need to focus on, is that having authentic relationship with their celebrity and the way they are portrayed in the media and to the public.
So, like, who do you care about from an opinion and influence point of view? I mean, who are you watching? Because this is your business.
Yeah.
So whatever you're doing now, the rest of us can copy you. You know that.
Yeah. Internationally, I would definitely say, for myself, Kanye West.
Yeah.
What is it about Kanye West? He's got that thing. What is that thing? Like, what is it about him?
I don't know. He's volatile, and you never know what's going to happen.
He's like Donald Trump. That's why they like each other.
Absolutely. As much as I do not like them, the Kardashians,
You don't? I thought you were a major fan of the Kardashians. Not?
No.
Okay, what puts you off them, and why do you think you still need to listen to them?
I think that their medium, they have really changed the way of PR and celebrity. Yeah. They are, you know,
They've made being famous for being famous.
Exactly.
A thing. Yeah.
You know, when Paris Hilton made Kimberly famous, she was the one that put Kim Kardashian on the map. And
I like how you call her Kimberly. Nobody's ever called her that.
That's her real name. I would refuse to. I refuse to condone.
And she and Paris Hilton obviously have something in common in that they both had sex tapes.
Absolutely. And that was still the years of where girls would come out of the limousines with their chochas.
The whole beaver would be flashed.
You know, those days are gone now, you know.
No, now you can look up naked pictures of anyone.
Exactly. So locally, Bonang.
Yeah.
But
is she authentic? Because a lot of people say she's completely the opposite of authentic. She's one person in public and for her sponsors, and another person when she's behind closed doors.
I've seen her both, and I've known her for a long time.
She's a friend of yours?
Yes.
Okay.
So I can't really, comment on that.
That's not my opinion. That's just what people say.
Of course. I respect that. Mm. And I'm sure people do. Who else locally?
Yeah, you see, there's not that many, right?
No. Also, I'm seasoned, Gareth. I mean, we've known each other for so long. So I'm like, really?
I can't, this microphone's dry. Oh, there. Now we're back in business.
You know it's all in your head. Right?
I know it's all but I hear, I'm sorry. Let me just digress for a second, Tulani. I'll come back to you now. I have the same headphones. I've been using the same make of headphones for the last 20 years. There's a sound that I want to hear in my head that I know we're doing a show. If it isn't right, I don't think it feels like Mickey Mouse to me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay.
Got you.
I'm calm now.
All right.
Things are back to normal. All right. So when we talk about celebrities and influence, what kind of money can these people charge?
Oh.
Like the Kardashians, that's what they do. That's all they do.
Yeah.
And they'll do sponsorships, branded stuff in their TV show. They'll do branded
Instagram
tweets. Yeah.
And it's, I mean, these are upwards of millions and millions of dollars, you know. And Mama Chris, you know, she takes that 15% cut.
She's made a pile of them. She and Ryan Seacrest are the ones who've done the best out of them.
I mean, they are manipulating us to this whole country and this world.
Do you think that jewelry heist was fake?
No.
You think that was real?
That was real.
But it has turned out to be it has turned out to be very profitable for Kim.
Absolutely.
I was watching a snippet the other day about how those few months that she went off social media, she gained like an extra million followers.
Mm-hmm.
And now that she started posting again, they've managed to calculate how much more money she's going to be making.
She was salivating to post again. She was, oh my God, I can't Snapchat.
She's got nothing to live for. Right? If she's not on social media, she doesn't exist.
Exactly. And there her sisters, Kylie and Kendall, are all posting and she's like watching all of this. You know she's watching all
of it. Who's full of shit? Who are we sick of following on Instagram? Who are we tired of seeing posting pictures of their great holidays? Who do we not give a damn about anymore? Come on.
Because
people fall off the radar, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean,
who's irrelevant? Come on, Tulani, I know you know. Who should we forget about? Who are we tired of seeing and hearing from?
Gosh.
Mabali Moloi?
No.
I don't think I was ever relevant.
No.
Gareth Cliff?
No. I think the people that are relevant now, I don't know. Gosh, you're putting me on spot here.
Okay, well, because you don't want to say anything mean. I know you.
I'm not mean.
Bitchy. Yeah, you could be super bitchy, but I don't think you want to right now. I just found, like, over the holidays, I unfollowed a bunch of people, and I unfollowed them on Twitter and on Instagram and on Facebook because I'm just sick of – I don't want to know how you think the best parts of your life need publicity, but actually you're a miserable person.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you've got materially.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in your possessions. These people are constantly taking pictures of what they have.
Yeah.
Watches and rings and outfits and
yeah.
Who cares, right?
I mean, this is what social media has, you know, pushed the public and society to do. You know, this is what people are interested in. I don't know why. I mean, keeping up with the Joneses? I really don't understand it. Look, I mean, we've all posted stuff, you know, that you think, that was a little brag tweet or brag post.
Who's the flashiest person in South Africa when it comes to these kinds?
Sumizi,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, Sumizi does live this incredible life.
Yeah,
he really
does. And unapologetically.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a problem. I mean, he's posting.
He did tell me, I got behind the scenes once and asked him how he did that. He did this one Instagram post where he put up a video of himself jumping into the pool. But like in slow motion and the splash, and it was, you know, he's a choreographer, he's a dancer,
right.
So he did it so beautifully. But he said he set the phone up on a bench, he set the timer. It was him on his own.
Yeah.
when you hear that, it doesn't sound as glamorous.
But then what then what's the purpose of Instagram then?
I thought he had a bunch of people. Like
a team.
Yeah, like he had this
wardrobe, stylist, yes, exactly. Lighting.
Oh, I'm sorry, Samizi, can we do it again? We've got a little bit of water on the lens. But instead it's him, he just puts his camera there, sets the timer, and he does it. I mean, obviously he said he did it 5 or 6 times before he was happy.
Right.
But you gotta admire that someone who cares about posting that much,
yeah,
is going to post some quality stuff and deserves every follower they get.
Yeah, I mean, I choose, like you said, you've unfollowed a couple of people. I want my feed to be funny. I want my feed to be rich people and hot guys. That's all I want on my feed, on my Instagram.
All right, who's really rich? We get to the hot ones later, but who's really rich?
There's people on Instagram that I follow that don't show their faces, and they don't show their identity. But yeah, they show their
stuff,
their fashion, their stuff,
okay, their wealth.
Yeah, there's a couple of Instagram profiles, but some of them are really obnoxious, like 25 carat diamond ring, and Hermes
jets.
I mean, but yeah, I'll double tap. I'll still double tap. You know,
who's hot that we need to follow?
Ashley Graham, at the moment, I started following her and she is beyond sexy. Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Girl, she's really, really hot. Definitely the Ashley.
I'm looking her up now.
The Ashley Graham. Very, very sexy. She's on America's Next Top Model, the new season.
Okay.
And she's I hate the words plus size.
Oh, I remember. We spoke about this model.
Yeah.
She is hot.
She's beautiful.
I was already following.
Oh, right. There you go. Yeah,
thick thighs save lives.
Nice. Thick thighs save lives. Yeah.
All right. Who else?
Entertaining. Fuck Jerry.
Who?
Fuck Jerry.
Who's that?
FUCKGERRY on Instagram now. Okay. It's hysterical profile. No,
what is Fuck Jerry?
It's just a bunch of memes and a bunch of funny videos and it's hysterical.
All right, very nice.
Yeah. So I always want my feed and my social media to be happy. You know, no time for negativity.
None of these miserable people.
Yeah, no, none of
that. Are you sad about Obama?
This morning, I woke up crying.
Did you hear any of the speech?
Yeah, I did. I woke up crying, you know, the part of, yeah, just beyond emotional, jeez. And I was contemplating wearing my Obama t-shirt today to the interview, but yeah.
You didn't. You could have looked like more of a fanboy.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Well, listen, I always like talking to you. We must keep in touch and you must come and pop in here regularly.
Absolutely.
To give us updates on who's in and who's out.
Yeah, for sure.
In fact, we should do a list. I'll give you some time to compile this.
Okay.
Every
annual.
No, let's do it monthly.
Okay.
Don't mess around.
It's like an ongoing rankings thing, in sport.
Like an actual rank. We rank South Africa's most well-known people. It could be sports stars. They could be entertainers.
I'm in.
They could be rappers. They could be whatever.
I'm in.
Okay, we'll do a monthly list, and yours is the definitive list.
Right.
We'll publish it across social media. We'll put it here on cliffcentral.com. And every month, if you're not on the list, you don't matter, and your value goes down. And people will drop you as an endorsement.
Exactly.
They don't care about you. If you're not on our list, you don't matter.
You got to be posting those Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, there we go.
All of that.
You got to know which stuff to have, not just Louis Vuitton. You don't want just any old bag.
And the selfie timers.
Damn it. All right, Tulani. Nice to see you, man.
Likewise. Congratulations on the new studio. It's amazing.
Yeah. We're expanding. And obviously with all the things that have been going on in the last 6 months, we've got lots of stuff still ahead.
Amazing.
Thank you, man. All right. Good to see you.
Thank you.
There you go. Everybody, Tulani Khadebe. And we will check in with him again soon. It is just before 8 o'clock. Jeremy Mansfield coming up next. CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.